Welcome, Spartans, to Mission Debrief. We're playing every mission in the mainline Halo video game series in chronological order, discussing our experiences and sprinkling in a little lore along the way. If you'd like to play along and have your thoughts read on the show, email us at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. We'll be playing the Crow's Nest mission from Halo 3 on the next episode. This episode, we're debriefing the arrival cinematic in Sierra 117 from Halo 3. We made it!
Oh my god!
I'm your host, Colin Perkins, alongside David Arnold.
Hello, everybody.
And Krista Brown.
Finally! We finally did it, guys!
We did it.
We're in the endgame now.
We're over halfway.
Endgame now.
Over the hump.
Spoilers, Krista. You can't see that.
All right, so this is the first mission of Halo 3, and we usually do just a quick overview that Chris is going to take to kind of put you in time and place when this game was released. We're playing in chronological order, not release order, so from here on out it's release order, but previously things were wonky with Reach and ODST. So, Chris, why don't you kind of take us through the highs and lows of kind of where we're at?
All right, so, oh my gosh, just looking at the dates. So the developers, Bungie, our Lord and Saviors. The original release was September 25th, 2007.
Yeah,
if it still feels like it just came out like a couple of years ago, it's so weird. So there are 10 missions, 9 are playable. Other games released in this year, man, there was some good stuff. So we got the original BioShock, Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare, Portal, Super Mario Galaxy, The Orange Box, Guitar Hero 3, Rock Band, the first Uncharted, the first Mass Effect, the first Assassin's Creed.
Oh, this is the ultimate year, really, wasn't it?
That was a great year. Like, all these franchises are still going.
Uncharted wasn't that, the first Uncharted isn't that great, but I just figured, like, it gets really good, you know? At the time. You know,
it's become a big series. Everyone loves that game.
Lots of good stuff.
So the Metacritic score for Halo 3 is 94. Do you think those 6 points come from?
Who took them? Where'd they go?
Who took them? I want to find that man and get Halo 3 at 6 points back.
It's probably a PlayStation rating or something.
So we're playing the game as part of the Master Chief Collection on normal or heroic, depending on.
I'm playing
what
on
we're
heroic.
Feeling.
Are you guys doing normal or?
I'm doing heroic.
It feels better on heroic.
Damn! Now I feel like a bum.
You're a loser.
I did normal.
But if you are playing along with us, play whatever you're comfortable with. If you want to go crazy, go legendary, or if you want more casual experience, go normal, or easy, I guess. If getting those chivos easy is the best. So the timeline covered in this game is November 17th, 2552 to December 11th, 2552. And then at the very end of the game, there is an epilogue, which is on March 3rd, 2553. We'll definitely get into the time, place, and dates as we are going along mission by mission. So the marketing, oh my gosh. A Starry Night.
Oh yeah.
Believe, which is the diorama.
So good.
Landfall, which was the live action.
Yes, it was amazing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Believe was the sorry, just to go back really quick, it was the diorama, but it was also some little snippets, commercials, right?
It was like there's interviews, like,
old timers, right?
Yeah.
It was good.
IRIS, which that
Iris.
Iris.
What's that?
That was their ARG.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the legendary edition with the Master Chief helmet that you could not put on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
People were very mad because they were thinking they would get this Master Chief helmet you could like walk around with, and it's very small. Maybe a 5-year-old could fit their head in there.
Mm-hmm. They're still available out there if you want one. Go pop on eBay. Lots of people selling those.
I think they're easy to get.
Yeah,
it was one of those limited edition things that was everywhere.
Yeah, you can. Honestly, you go into a pawn shop, you go into like a Goodwill, or you go into just one of those used game stores, you can usually find one for like $50.
Oh yeah.
I need to get one. I don't have one. So eventually I'm going to find one, track one down. So some additional media is Halo Uprising, and Ghosts of Onyx, which is an amazing book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Uprising. So Uprising is the comic I think I've talked about at some point, but that explains kind of what went on when Chief was on the Dreadnought after
just
he left.
Murdering everyone.
Yeah.
I think exactly. I haven't read that.
Really?
You should read that.
Yeah, I think I haven't.
Yeah, have a read. I won't fill in all the blanks, but he does a lot of stuff, and then there's other stuff that goes on. Ackerson's involved as well.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool, but not super-duper necessary. But yeah, it tells a cool little story about what's going on and some other things. Some of the issues, and I'll kind of talk about this along the way, is like it's been a month since, you know, they first, Fist of Covenant first came, so both of these resources kind of help fill in some of those blanks about what's been going on. All right, so let's dive into it. Last mission we played, if you've been listening in order, we just played ODST, so we just came out of, you know, the rookie's helmet and Alpha 9. But I'm going to go back because our last mission chronologically, as we're following Chief, was from Halo 2, and that was actually High Charity, the second to last mission in Halo 2, and then the Great Journey was the final mission. The last time we saw Chief was on High Charity. So Master Chief hopped a ride on Truth's Forerunner Dreadnought, but left Cortana behind so she could contain the Flood and have a chat with the Gravemind. Meanwhile, the Arbiter tracked down Tartarus, who planned to force Miranda Keys to fire the Delta Halo. Thel teamed up with Urtas, a couple hunters, and eventually Sergeant Johnson, who hot-wired a Scarab in order to blast open the door to the control room. After some Banshee-flying fun, Arby kills Tartarus, and the team stops the Halo from firing. However, all of the Halos in the array are now in standby waiting for remote detonation. This mission, having finally arrived at Earth, John 117 leaps off the Dreadnought as the ship enters the atmosphere and craters into East African jungle. Sergeant Johnson scrapes him out of the dirt, puts him through a brief concussion protocol, and reintroduces him to the Arbiter as an ally. The team then sets out through the jungle to fight through Covenant forces and reconvene with Miranda Keys. The date of the game is November 17th, 2552. I just want to mention this. So one of the things that I've struggled with is, as we just played ODST, Johnson had that conversation with the Virgil on November 15th. So they got to Earth before the Dreadnought. Even though the Forerunner technology, like the Dreadnought, should have actually got into the Sol system way before they did, they were dealing with Chief on the Dreadnought, and that's explained in Halo Uprising.
Cool.
So that kind of helps fill in the gap and kind of helps you understand, okay, wait a minute, you know, this Forerunner technology, they should have gotten there way ahead of time than the UNSC. They did, but Chief was causing a ruckus on the Dreadnought. So that would be a good reason to read Uprising. And then Ghost of Onyx fills in all the blanks of, like, the Covenant's been on Earth for a month. You would think that they would have just completely wiped out the Earth, but there's some missions that happen in that book to help explain what's going on there. Plus, you know, we know, and we'll explain, you know, as a part of this game, is they're digging. They're looking for something. So they're not necessarily coming to Earth to just glass the entire planet. They're looking for something specific. All right, so let's start. What about this intro? Who wants to do this intro? Krista?
Sure, the Cortana intro?
Yeah.
So this is like an inner monologue that I think just Cortana's having. I don't think Chief can actually hear this, but
right.
Maybe it was a conversation they had in the past or something. That much is unclear at this point, but it's Cortana talking about why she chose John. You know, she looked at all of the Spartans, she went through all of their records, she watched them grow into, you know, super soldiers. I mean, there were plenty for her to choose from. And she saw John, and she saw something that no one else saw, and she kind of goes, she talks about this, someone that no one else could see, and it was luck. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting. This is the first time this has ever been really talked about in the Halo series. Like, John has an incredible amount of luck if you are going through all of the Halo games I mean, he just always happens to be in the right place at the right time and be able to...
Plus, he hasn't died yet.
Yeah, plus he hasn't died yet. If you're going to do a zero deaths run through, you probably haven't died yet either. So, it's a very interesting thing, because now they're kind of fleshing out the relationship between John and Cortana in a little more depth here. I mean, as we see later on in this mission, she's still very much at the forefront of his mind, and him leaving her and stuff like that. So it's very, I love these first cutscenes. They're very, very cool. They get you right into the mood. I watch these cutscenes and I'm instantly like, all right, Halo 3 time.
Yeah, I know. Just like the music at the beginning and just the Dark Knight. And then you see kind of this comet coming through the sky. And then, you know, you see Chief break off. It's so good. They did such a great job with this intro.
Yeah, I watched Halo Landfall before playing this because, I love Landfall so much. And it was Daniil Blomkamp that, did all the work on this, and it's amazing. And he should be given a chance to do some more Halo stuff, which was the big rumor coming out of this when he made it. But it came out in parts, and, it shows, all, humanity kind of revving up for war, all the kind of manufacturing, all the automated facilities making weapons and vehicles and stuff, and it's so cool. It shows Marines getting recruited and getting all suited and booted up, and then it cuts to an in-canon sequence, which I was looking up, actually takes place in Pakistan, and apparently that's the account for the time difference between the time of day that they're doing this and when Chief is actually landing in Kilimanjaro in East Africa. So, it's some ODSTs running to pretty much, they're getting a box, and it turns out it's a laser designator, and they're kind of fighting brutes, and the brutes are the brutes are all CG, but they're super well done, and it's super gritty.
Yeah.
And there's phantoms and banshees flying over. It's a war zone, and then a pelican comes in and drops off a warthog. The two ODSTs jump in the warthog and kind of run off because they're this... the dreadnought is entering Earth's atmosphere, so they're hurry, we have to get it. Chief is landing soon, and then one of them gets shot, and it's a spiker going through his chest, and it's so yeah. awesome. It's just so cool. And they have to they meet up with another unit because there's a medic here, so one guy is getting seen to by a medic, and the other guy is trying to fight off these brutes, and it's just so brutal. It's awesome. And there's a great scene of a spike grenade going into a wall and Marine pulling it off the wall and throwing it up in the air and blowing up a banshee that flies past. It's just it's so full of so cool moments. And there's another ODST goes off then with a sniper rifle and starts killing brutes, and then a chieftain comes in and just splatters him with a hammer, and it's brutal.
Or when the guy gets pinned to the wall with the spikers.
That was excellent, yeah. He's he gets pinned to the wall by spiking the arm. And then the medic has to come up with a saw and cut the spike from the wall, and then pulls this guy down, and kind of a guy eventually laser designates Chief, and you see this big fireball in the sky and a small fireball spinning off from it, which is the actual intro sequence, the Halo 3 Den and Arrival, when you see that splinter. Mm-hmm. That's they've laser designated Chief, obviously, to be able to track him, and then for the recovery team to get to him. And then there's an awesome sequence of a dude taking out a Spanger rocket launcher and totally splattering that chieftain as he's running into the...
Oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing, man. It's so good.
You
it's
see, just, parts of his armor flying off?
Yeah, yeah. He's just splattered. It's so cool. Thing done like that would just be so awesome.
It does a good job of making you, or just helping you understand how big the brutes are in terms of comparison to humans.
Oh, yeah.
You don't quite feel it as much as Chief. And they didn't quite, I didn't feel like they made him big enough in ODST. It didn't feel like they were as big as when you see them on screen here. You're not aiming up as much as I just, feel like they maybe could have done.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, totally. That if you haven't seen Landfall, go watch it. It's great. The other thing that I want to mention here is now we're kind of transitioning into the game. Chief, he rode something down off the 400 Dreadnought, and that's what you kind of see at the beginning. And Krista, I'll let you kind of keep going on the intro here. But there's this big crater, and then there's big metal thing, and that's what Chief actually, he must have ripped it off. It doesn't show it in the comic, but he must have ripped it off of the dreadnought and then rode that down. So he didn't He didn't land directly just in his combat suit. He was on top of something.
Well, I will intercede when the first pieces of trivia is, contrary to what players might think, Master Chief did not land on Earth using just his Mjolnir armor. And the other end of the crater is a metallic object, suggesting Chief ripped it out of the Forerunner dreadnought and rolled it down to Earth. A page in the Art of Halo 3 supports this theory. Also, the metallic object appears to be a Forerunner door of some sort due to the support bracing on one side, as many Forerunner doors not seen in Halo 2. And the Halo Encyclopedia, it shows Master Chief using a piece of metal for protection as he enters the atmosphere. I never knew any of this until you mentioned it, Colin, so I was like, ooh, that makes total sense. I assumed it was him riding down in his armor and it just locking up.
Yeah, when I first played Halo 3, I'm sure everybody is like, what is this giant crater? Is that like a...
Dude, never noticed
escape
it.
Pod? It doesn't look like an escape pod. Yeah, like, what is that thing?
So, never know. I looked for it today when I was playing, and I was like, oh yeah, it's clearly there. And I literally never saw
noticed
it before.
It?
Nope, never saw it before.
Well, I never noticed it either, so.
Really?
Go team.
Well, all you're kind of so ahead, distracted Christian. By everything else, because you're stepping back into Master Chief's shoes, so you're just like going on that and not looking around.
Mm-hmm. All right, because to take us through the rest of this kind of little intro here before we start walking.
Okay, so Master Chief lands. He's in a weird, like, disco pose. Like, he's hugging the air. a Marine goes up and starts diagnosing him, saying that, you know, his armor locked up. The gel layer could have taken most of the impact, but they're unsure whether Master Chief is alive or not at the time. And Johnson just looks so disappointed. He's just so disappointed at this. He's smoking his cigar, just blowing it in Chief's helmet. And then he takes Chief's data chip, which is where he usually stores Cortana, and I'm guessing other information. Maybe it's his, like, heads-up display recording or something. But he takes the chip right out of the back of his helmet, looks at it, and he's like, oh man, what a shame. Get an airlift, we're not leaving him here. And then Chief's like, no, you're not, and grabs his arm, takes the chip. Oh my god, the music swells, and just so Master Chief's voice, it is just such a good moment. And, you know, of
he's
course,
like, give me
Johnson,
that chip back.
Why do you always jump? But he takes the chip back, and Johnson asks where Cortana is, and Chief just seems very just emotionally shut off right now, and just says she was left behind. Just kind of shirks it off as no big deal. And so they go on talking and, you know, getting him up to date and what they're gonna do. And then a spooky figure comes out of the trees and it's something cloaked, and Master Chief immediately goes into I'ma kill that thing mode. And grabs his pistol, and it's the Arbiter. And immediately Johnson's like, no, don't shoot, he's on our side. And then it goes dung, dung, da-dung.
It's cool.
The music in this cutscene is just so good. Like, you can, if you ever go back and listen to this particular, I think it's called Luck, but if you listen to this particular cutscene, like, you can see, hear all these, like, major beats of this cutscene in the music. It's just, it's phenomenal. I love it. And of course, Arbiter's like, yo, you can't kill me. And then he's kind of, he says, were it so easy, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is the first time he says the famous line, were it so easy. And then they kind of like push each other a little bit. And then immediately he's like, all right, the brutes are over here and they'll smell us. So we got to get going.
They
That's
have
about
our scent.
The end of the cutscene.
And then Johnson goes, they must love the smell of green. It's pretty great.
Well, there's different dialogue there. Do you have that in your trivia?
I do not, but isn't there, based on the difficulty, he says something different? I thought it was the smell of hero is what I thought he used.
Yeah, the smell of hero is
heroic.
What I saw.
And then I don't know what legendary is. I will say, the other bit of trivia is actually I never knew. Master Chief appears for the first time in Halo 3 at precisely 1 minute and 17 seconds into the cutscene when the camera descends to reveal the outstretched
arm.
So
ridiculous.
Yeah. This is but a reference to his number
17. Bungie are so extra. They're like, oh, man.
I thought that was pretty ridiculous.
The other thing I didn't confirm here is, you know how Chief's chest armor is all messed up?
Yes.
I went back to Halo 2, and his chest armor is not messed up in that cutscene or the very end of Halo 2 where we last see him. And then it's messed up when he lands. So I'm guessing that came from this landing, this crash landing.
In some of the Vidocs, they were talking about just, like, Chief's been through all of this war in, like, Halo 2 and, you know, up until Halo 3, so we wanted to show that on his armor. So I think it was just they finally got the technology to do detailed scratches and impacts on his armor, because Halo 2 they didn't really have that. So I think the big thing is he probably had scratches on his armor canonically at the end of Halo 2, but it couldn't be shown in the technology that was available, and then they showed it in Halo 3.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think they made a big deal in the lore of like just writing in, they repair their armor after every mission, or they have like nanotechnology repairs surface damage or some kind of crap. I remember them, they say it in numerous places, just to account for the fact that in the games they couldn't or weren't interested in detailing all of this damage all the time.
And they changed it in Halo 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they explain, canonically explain stuff based off the technology that they have, so that makes sense. All right, so let's head out through the jungle now. This is a cool setting for this opening mission. You're in the African jungle, and we still have to do a little tutorial. So if you're on normal, David, you probably did a little tutorial. You looked up, right?
Yeah, which is interesting. It's down. Like it's accounted as it's the only tutorial that takes place in the game that doesn't take place in like a space station orbiting a planet of some sort. This one actually takes place on Earth, and it's like the only tutorial that does that. It's like one random piece of trivia.
It's so cool. Yeah, it's like in the field trying to get him recalibrated.
Yeah, it's just a quick look up and down, and away you go. I'm sure on easy or something, it's probably a bit more and might give you the invert option choice.
Yeah, so then you kind of hustle past that big chunk of metal that we talked about, and then you learn how to jump.
Ooh!
And you jump over some logs and things like that. You have this whole, you know, this group, this squad of Marines and Arby and Sergeant Johnson, you know, helping you kind of get to the evac. So it's kind of fun to see everybody roll along with you. And then, you hear them at some point. Don't you hear the brutes in the background?
Yeah, they start howling.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to mention just the multiplayer? Like what happens when you're playing multiplayer?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. So I realized why I only like playing player two pretty like immediately after I stepped into Master Chief's shoes. They spawn him with the two worst guns in the game, like the AR really? And just the pistol.
Oh yeah.
But
don't bash my AR. Love.
Oh, the AR is not very good in this game. Come on.
It's not very good. They brought it back, which was kind of like me. I always liked the AR from Halo 1, even though it's rubbish. I don't know why. It's just an iconic weapon.
It's so good. God.
They brought it back, but like they like have the clip, and they made it more accurate, I remember them saying, but it's just not the same weapon.
It's not the same, no. But so your player two will be Arbiter. So no matter what, your player two will always be Arbiter, and I think he spawns with a carbine, which is one of the best guns in the game, and like a plasma pistol. I think his AI has a energy sword, but I don't think if you're playing player two he'll spawn with it as a player, so he only spawns with it as an AI. And then of course player three and four are two other elites, and their they have canonic names, and they actually have a story behind them, even though when you first play Halo 2 you think you're just random elites. So if you're playing in a squad of four, you have two elites, an Arbiter, and Master Chief. It's pretty cool to play co-op in this game.
Yeah.
I've never done it before, so I didn't know this for like the longest time. And I was like, oh man, it's pretty cool. Here we are, there are Nato Saram and Uthaze Thaham. And they're the name of the two elites. And they're actually featured in later books and stuff in lore, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Specifically Hunters in the Dark. I think they're both in that book.
Yeah, it was more recent when they gave them names, that's right. All right, so let's head out through the jungle with our squad, or a couple elites if you're playing four-player, and then we do kind of reach this clearing area eventually, and that's when we finally start fighting. Let's start going. We see a waterfall off in the distance, which is really cool, kind of, you know, again, just setting the mood and setting the scene for the game here. And then you decide to split up. This is Johnson radios to Bravo team, and he says that he wants them to fall back to the extraction point. I don't know why exactly they split up, probably just so you're not rolling with all the Marines.
They're worried about being sighted.
Sure. Okay, that makes sense, I guess. So maybe they're less likely to be.
Though, I mean, I don't think killed. Chief is ever worried about being sighted.
Yeah, I know.
He's kind of hard to miss.
And plus Arby, I mean, I guess it makes sense because just from a gameplay perspective that Arby goes with you, but you would think maybe Arby would go with the other guys because he's badass, but oh well.
And he is cloaking too, so I mean.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so Johnson goes off with, you know, an offshoot of his Marines, and then we start taking down some grunts, and there's a, you know, this water, there's kind of this river area here where we break off. Oh, actually, you will see the waterfall I mentioned. You'll see the Marines like climb up the side of the rock
cool.
to get, yeah. So if you kind of wait around long enough, this game, we'll mention it during probably each episode, but this game does a great job of having like little mini stories that are going on that you just kind of stumble across. And though there's one coming up here in a little bit, so we'll talk about that a little bit more, but the world is happening and then you're also a part of it versus like everything's happening to you, which they do a really good job of. All right, so this is the first time that you're probably going to see a bubble shield.
Yeah, they use those things right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pop it right away. The brute pops it right away. I think he might have a brute shot or something like that, but he pops that bubble shield right away, and you're like, what is going on here? Do we want to talk about that at all? David, do you want to kind of give a quick overview?
Yeah, I was super pumped for the bubble shield because we get that amazing trailer called Starry Night, which is mm-hmm. really short, which is Chief as a kid talking to his friend who is a in-canon character and actually comes back in the Halo 5 marketing campaign, which is so random. But he was with his best friend, this girl, on his home planet, Iridanus, and they're just talking about meeting aliens for the first time. Would you like to see them? Like, oh yeah, definitely. And then it cuts to Chief's helmet on the ground, and Chief is obviously just being in an explosion, and he kind of gets up, put his helmet on, you hear the radio chatter, and you hear like, oh, we lost Chief, Chief's down, and you just hear Chief goes, not yet. And then he like activates this thing that you think is a grenade, and he throws it on the ground in front of him, and a big bubble opens up around him. He kind of crouches down in a real awesome pose, a big like a rate shot kind of hits him, explodes up where he is, and he's perfectly fine. He runs out of the shield and then jumps off this ledge into like a massive group of elites all with rates all around them, and it's just so amazing. And seeing that, I was like, oh my god, what is this thing? It's so exciting. And then you see it straight away. It's like this awesome bubble shield is what it's called.
Yeah.
And it makes you invincible once you're inside it. It lasts for a short period of time.
And you can't shoot out of it, though.
You can't shoot out of it or into it.
But you can stick your gun outside of it, right?
Like you can, just yeah, move yeah. And like enemies can kind of half come in, half come out and stuff like that. And this game has what's called equipment now. So you can pick up various pieces of equipment. We'll talk about them as you go through. You deploy them and they're like one-off uses. You can only hold one at a time, and you can swap them out for different ones. But the bubble shield.
We saw the equipment in ODST because it's the same engine, and the brutes were using the equipment, but we couldn't use that in ODST as ODSTs. But Chief can use all the equipment.
Yay! It's super cool. I love the bubble shield. It's one of my favorites.
It's great.
It's one of my favorites.
So Chief confirmed is a Titan, right, in Destiny?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah, definitely.
Confirmed Titan. All right, so pick those up. You'll see those randomly. I guess I don't really know what they all look like offhand. I just kind of like every once in a while pick up some stuff. I'll use things as I have them, but I don't necessarily seek out the equipment. Krista, do you seek out the equipment, or do you just kind of roll with what you got?
I just accidentally hit the equipment button, and then just equipment just pops out of nowhere, and I'm always like, oh, that's interesting. Oops.
It will tell you what you picked up, I think, in the kind of
The problem is, like, most of the time you're not looking. Like, it has, like, a little tiny little prompt up in the screen. I forget exactly where on the screen it is, but say, like, you picked up a bubble shield, but most of the time you're not paying attention to it, and then you just click the equipment button and stuff just happens. So.
David, are you an equipment person?
Yeah, I'm totally an equipment person. I'm always aware of my equipment. I'm dropping them and changing them and picking ones I want up and getting rid of the ones I don't want.
I thought you might be.
I like equipment. Makes sense.
It's good. It's very good. It changes the gameplay dynamic, especially in multiplayer.
Oh, yeah. It changes everything in multiplayer. There's so many amazing moments around like the equipment in multiplayer in this game.
But you don't necessarily need to rely on it as much until you do that legendary run. When you're doing legendary, then you realize, this is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In heroic, it is useful here and there, but normal, you can usually just kind of blast through without using it. You can still use it for fun. So we see some phantoms dropping off more Covenant in the background there. And, it's pretty much just like brutes and grunts, maybe a couple jackals here during this area.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic setting. And, I think in this first area, there's a little building off to the right. I'll probably miss some of the hidden stuff here and there. So I'm not sure if there's hidden stuff here. There are skulls in this game.
Yes.
So there is a skull in this area.
It's by the pelican. There's like a crushed pelican.
Up for a little further up in this area, there is.
Yeah, I think it's like there's a bunch of cliffs, and like you just go all the way to the end of this like little tiny cliff, and there's one there. And of course, in this game, you legitimately just physically pick up a skull, and you can actually carry it through the game as a weapon and just bash people with it. It's pretty great.
Yeah. So this skull here is the blind skull. Which, is that no HUD?
Yeah.
Right?
No
okay.
radar.
Was it no
oh,
radar?
No, oh, ra- right. no radar. Yeah, no radar. That makes sense. So we have that, and then we're just kind of getting used to the gameplay here and kind of all the little nooks and crannies, and there's rocks for, the enemies to hide behind, and, you know, just this the water setting in this jungle. You feel like you're in the middle of the jungle in this area. They do a great job. It's kind of setting that mood for you.
And every brute has a brute shot.
Yeah, the brute shots are a bastard here. Oh my god,
they're really brutal.
Oh, and you can dual wield. You can still dual wield.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. But you can't dual wield needlers anymore. No, needlers are gone.
Needlers are now one use. So I played a lot of dual wielding in this mission, the first one. I was just having hella fun. The pistol is still lame.
But the pistol's
slow. It fires so slow.
You can't zoom in with it.
They definitely changed it big up from Halo 2. It's not as good as ODST's one, which is silenced and a little bit better. But this one, you can dual wield the pistol still in this one. It's a lot slower. There's no reason why you would ever use it in the whole game. I used it in the first mission a little bit just to say I used it. I hated it. I dropped it as soon as I could. Oh, no. I mean, it was just, I remember when this game came out, like, canonically, when I loved the first game, the Halo CE pistol's amazing, obviously. Halo 2 was a disgrace. And then when Halo 3 was coming out, I'm like, oh man, they're going to bring the pistol back. They have to know how terrible Halo 2's pistol is. And it just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you can still headshot with it, but it just fires so slow. And it is a different model, I think. All three of the pistols are different models, technically, like in canon.
Yeah, in canon they are, yeah. There's no scope on this one.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, if you're in this area, you're probably just kind of playing around with the different weapons, you know, reminding yourself what Covenant weapons you like. You got the Spiker was the Spiker? Spiker was in 3 or in 2? Or is it just an ODST? I'm trying to remember. It's been so long since we played these games.
Spiker is in 2. Yeah.
Is it? Or is it just...
Yeah.
It is, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have fun with Spiker every once in a while. We were playing with it, or at least I played with it in ODST quite a bit. But
it's fun to dual wield.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so we kind of clear out this area here, deal with those brutes and their brute shots, and then we just kind of cruise through the jungle a little bit more. At one point, Arby says, kind of during a downtime, he says, all who follow the prophets will be punished, which is a good line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's shouting at the Covenant. It's cool. He does it throughout the game, where he's like shouting at them, and like, you know, like, repent, brothers, and all this kind of stuff. Do not believe the lies of the prophets. And it's cool.
It gets really funny because he'll just stand around and just talk to people, be like, "You should stop doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Stop killing
right, exactly.
me."
Yeah, that's gonna work. But I mean, he was just recently, I guess, converted or whatever you want to say. You know, he just recently kind of swapped sides. So yeah, he's trying to get anybody that will listen to him. Obviously the brutes aren't going to listen to him, but there are the elites now that are on your side. So this next area that you reach here is lots of jackal snipers. You kind of wind through this cave here, and then there's a bunch of trees off in the distance, and then like this mission and throughout the game off and on, there'll just be jackal snipers all over and just kind of hidden. And just there to headshot,
when you're having a good time, and then they just come out of nowhere, and they're like, you know what, kill this guy, and then you're dead.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
Yep. So they're all over, but then this also has the this hill area, which I really like. This whole kind of the Covenant is dug into this hill. There's the Jackal snipers around, then there's grunts down below, there's brutes up above. You can approach this area. It's a big, wide open area. You can approach it so many different ways because there's cover all over the place. There's a little river in the middle, trees all over the place. This is a great area. What do you guys typically do in this spot? Krista, what do you do? Are you just laying back and sniping? Or I guess you're playing heroic, yeah. So maybe you're kind of playing a little more safe.
Yeah, I am. I think at this point I had found a battle rifle, but if not, I had a carbine with me. And I just systematically took out all the Jackal snipers and then entered the area. And then there was like a couple Jackals and maybe a Brute there. Just a couple shield Jackals or something. Or is this the one where it's only Jackal snipers?
This is kind of that hill area. So you kind of come in.
There's a Phantom. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
No, this is past
that's
a little that.
That's after
oh, sorry.
It was after that. Okay. The problem with this particular mission is everything looks the same.
Right.
It all looks jungle. The same. But most of the time when I'm confronted with a bunch of Jackal snipers, I'll take them out before entering the area.
Yeah. So I usually kind of go forward and just kind of ram my way through. I try that, and if it doesn't work, then I'll try to you know, come back. Sometimes I'll get caught, though, because there are a lot of checkpoints in this game. So I'll proceed, like, way up, and then I'll, you know, figure out that that's probably not a good idea. Die. And then it'll spawn me, like, right in that same spot sometimes. And so it's hard to, like, get back into the, you know, into the distance. Sometimes I'm just, like, sprinting and just kind of continue to get pelted. So, So yeah, it's just this area, and there's just, does it feel like there's more enemies in Halo 3 on each kind of, in each encounter?
I felt like there was a lot of enemies in this mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lots of grunts, especially.
Yeah. Oh, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. When you think you have them all, so there's one.
This mission's amazing. It's so good. It's such a great intro to the game.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, so we get past this hill area, you know, deal with some Jackal snipers and whatnot, and then now we are going to finally get to this little clearing area. You kind of climb through the jungle a little bit more, and then you get to the clearing area where you reach down below. You kind of get down below, and then that's where you see the pelicans here. And so these are the pelicans. I think this is the initial pickup spot.
Mm-hmm.
This must be. And then is it like a water treatment center or something
it
like that?
It looks like something like that. And,
I'm not sure exactly where it is, but in this cutscene, where this is the one where the cutscene takes off, when you see like Johnson being captured, isn't it?
No, nope, that's at the very end. This is the first cluster of buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's two pelicans, there's like a river, and then the pelicans get shot down.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I was way ahead.
So yeah, Johnson's in one of those pelicans.
Yeah.
Yep, and so there's a Phantom that comes through. So the pelicans get shot down by a Banshee, and then...
They're pelicans.
Well, sometimes pelicans are badass, but not these ones.
There is a badass one in this mission that I'm looking forward to talking about, but like...
Yeah.
The game starts and you immediately get two pelicans get taken out. You're like, God damn it.
It's Halo. Of course they get taken
they
out.
Nothing.
Right. So they get shot down. Johnson's in one of those, and then it's your job to go find Johnson, right? Johnson gets kind of captured quite a bit in Halo. I've kind of come to realize, like, he's been taken here and there.
He's
always
Princess
on the front lines, man.
Yeah, that's true. So now we're gonna. I think it is like a treatment center or something like that. So anyway, we kind of climb up there, and there's lots of brutes up there.
They all
shots.
Have brute shots. It's like, oh my god!
it's a dam. That's what it is.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, it's similar, right? Yeah. So the dam area here, you get to climb up actually onto the structure at the top there. It's kind of flat, and there's a bunch of boxes. You realize this is the point where I realized that I could smash boxes, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything in them. I don't remember there being like ammo or guns, but you can at least knock them over, which is good. So we clear this area finally up top, and then you kind of go down and around, and then there's more Jackal snipers down in the next area. That's where they're kind of hidden off in the distance. And these ones will pelt you and just, you know, just kind of piss you off. So at this point, I'm really...
They're
you know,
not
I'm
there
getting...
in normal. They're only there in the harder difficulties.
Oh, is that right?
And then... Yeah, because I was looking for them and they weren't there.
And I was interesting.
Really?
Yes.
So you're gonna, if you're playing on harder difficulties, then you got to deal with those guys. They're all over the jungle too. Like there's probably, I don't know, there's not 10 of them, but there's more than 5. So there's quite a few, and they're at different angles. So as you kind of stick your head out to one spot, maybe you're trying to snipe one, another one will snipe you in the side of the head.
Yeah, they're really annoying.
Mm-hmm. Jack of snipers, we've been giving out about them the whole series of Mission Debrief. They suck.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good to have them as a part of Halo because they're challenging, but sometimes they're just hard to see and hard to find out. Like, where am I getting shot from? So they can be frustrating.
Their level of accuracy is insane.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So hopefully you've killed one or two at this point and grabbed one of their carbines, because that weapon comes in very handy for this mission. So then we kind of go down below, and then there you see this phantom off in the distance here, off to the side. You kind of see, you can, there's like a clearing, and there's a chieftain brute hanging off the side. Did you guys notice that? There's like there's a grunt that's got a turret and he's firing at you, and then there's chieftain
yeah.
brute. You can actually shoot his helmet off and you can kill him.
It's possible to kill him in the wreckage. However, the chieftain is still present to push Johnson into the prison later, so they reckon it's either two different chieftains or more than one of the phantoms that's not scripted to die.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought that. So I did end up killing him, and then the chieftain still showed up at the end there. So I was like, oh, well. But it's still cool. He's like hanging off the side of it. And the other thing I thought is maybe if like you shoot off his helmet, does he not have a helmet on the other end? But no, it sounds like it's just a gameplay thing where it's the full-on chieftain later in the mission. But this area is actually kind of difficult, because there's actually, if you get too far up and around kind of where that pelican is, or the phantom is, then you end up getting shot from behind, because there's some jackal snipers and grunts kind of behind you, because you're just really winding around this whole mission. It's very windy. And
This area is quite difficult on Legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the snipers everywhere and the units. And there is cover, but you are getting hit from, like, all sides.
Yeah, and you have to go, like, towards the pelican and then around to even get at the enemies at the top.
Yeah.
But and I do there are a lot of brutes and stuff up there.
And I do appreciate that the pelican has a crap ton of weapons. Yes. So you get up to the crash pelican, you get, like, all, like, ARs, a sniper rifle, battle rifles there. It's cool.
And I think that's around where the skull is. I think it's a little bit past that pelican.
Okay.
Oh, let's see here. No, there's not a skull there.
Oh, it's the far one?
The skull is at the very beginning
Of
the game that we talked about. There's another skull that we'll come up to in a little bit.
So
anyway, this is the crash pelican. This is Johnson's crash pelican right here. So he must have crash landed and then they grabbed him here.
Well, you see him running. As you come into this area, if you look up a little bit across the bridge, you see Johnson and his Marines running back and like shooting at elites and stuff like that.
Oh, so the brutes
are chasing him. Yeah, yeah, no, he's there because he's talking and shouting. You can actually see him run across as you enter this area the first time. They capture
There's
him. They
a
must
lot
capture
of little
him.
Details.
Yeah. One thing I'm speaking of, because I mentioned before, there was the like the game is happening and you're kind of part of it. So there's that you just mentioned, and I probably skipped over it earlier in this mission. There is a brute like on top of a tree, a big log, and he's like got a Marine by the neck.
Oh yeah,
and they have a little dialogue back and forth, and you can actually save that guy if you take out the brute. If you don't, if you just let it happen or you're just bad shot, he will kill the Marine. So that's pretty cool. And the Marine will join your team. He'll actually have a little dialogue about kind of what happened. So lots of stuff like that happens in the game.
Also important to note, Nathan Fillion is like every second Marine in this game.
I know, it's hilarious. I'm like, Buck, is that you?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yep. Yeah, it's not Buck, but I think he's gunnery somebody.
They call
like,
him
he
Gunny,
does have a
don't
name.
They?
Mm-hmm. There's a few different character models that have Nathan Fillion's voice, and they have different ranks. But there's definitely a sergeant at one stage. There's way more of them in the next mission than there is in this one, but like he's everywhere.
Yeah. which is cool. And again, it's weird playing again in chronological order because you've heard that voice as a main character, but this was in 2007, so a couple of years before ODST came out. So this is probably the part. Or was he in Halo 2?
He was in Halo 2, but he wasn't as credited as that at the time. Because I remember them in one of the Vidocs for Halo 3 was they showed a bunch of the voice actors that were involved. There was one like around the voice actors, and you got to, I think that was the first time we saw Steve Downes and I voice a line, and we saw Keith David, and like he was a bit, obviously a much bigger character in this game, and there was lots of other star-studded cast. And there was they did a quick interview, and like Nathan Fillion had been a big advocate, like he was a massive Halo fan, and I'm pretty much sure he kind of wormed his way into it of like, hey, I'm a massive fan and I'm a celebrity, get me in your game or whatever.
Yeah,
and he just like got into Halo 2 as just a voice character. And then, obviously, in Halo 3, he's all over the place. And then I imagine there was discussions in there, obviously, about Halo 3 ODST.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned that he's in Halo Reach. So, like, he's in a ton of Halo games, really, considering. Right. Cool.
All right. So, let's continue on through the jungle here. Once you kind of get past this area, you kind of climb up and around some more trees, and there's some kind of grunts that come and flank you, and there's some jackals kind of through these rocks here. You kind of climb through a cave, and then this is kind of where you get another little cutscene here. So this is what we're talking about, Johnson getting captured at this point. And you and Arby kind of overlook this. This must be the dam right here. You actually see the dam. And you see a pelican coming in, and you know, you kind of see all of the Covenant out there. They're just kind of dug into this area, and then you see the chieftain here just shoving Johnson into the door of their, I don't know, makeshift jail. But and then Johnson turns around and punches him in the chest. Oh, it's so good. So you know, the ever defiant Johnson. This is why we all love him so much. And then this is the final encounter. It's a long encounter here at the very end of the game. But this is a really good one. This is so memorable. I remember playing, you know, Halo 3 originally, and then when you come back to the game after playing it, you know, maybe it's been a year or two, and you're like, oh, I remember this part. This is where that chieftain like charged me from the other side, came in and just destroyed me with his gravity
hand. Yeah, if you don't know he's there, it's like a shock. It's like, oh my god, what is that?
Right. Yeah. It's very good. What's your approach here, David? What do you stay up top, snipe? Do you kind of get down low? Because there's so many different things you can do. Can you? I don't think you can jump across, but you kind of have to go off onto the side, I believe.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. I use my BR. I used a BR for a lot of this mission after I was messing around with some of the weapons. So I did a BR for a lot of it. And I did try the AR a good bit. But I was actually cycling through a lot of weapons just to kind of, because it was the first mission, I was just picking up stuff as I was going along. And I used a needler for a good bit. Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the weapons do feel a little different. I mean, they're the same weapons, but they do feel a little bit different. They're more or less effective than previous games. So that makes sense. Chris, are you sniping here?
Well, I actually have kind of a funny encounter. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So in that phantom area, just as I was about to leave, Arbiter got stuck and died.
Oh.
Like, actually.
Is this where the chieftain was hanging from the phantom, that part?
Yeah, yeah. It was towards the end of that when you're up top. So Arbiter died.
No
and
way.
And he dropped his energy sword.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he got, like, two shots off on that, and then it died. But that cutscene where you're, like, overlooking everything, Arbiter's just not there.
Really? I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah. So it was hilarious. So I had to go through all of this first. He didn't come back until after you saved Johnson, so I had to go through all of this solo. But at that point, they stuck Arbiter, and I just saw him fly up in the air and then drop down dead. I'm just like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that could happen. It was pretty funny. But
is he that useful, though? Does he?
He was actually super useful to me. He was taking out brutes left and right.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was just surprised how good his AI was when I was playing through. But, so, back to this encounter. At this point, I had a BR... No, I had a brute shot, and I had a beam rifle. So I beamed all of the jackal snipers, and I beamed a couple of the brutes, and actually got the chieftain as well. And then just dropped down, and basically there was no one left, so...
Yeah.
Just took out just a couple of the blue armored brutes. There was like two of those and maybe one gold armored one. Mm-hmm. And I just took them out and just went and saved Johnson like a pro. It was great.
Nice. I should have looked up before this episode, but those are different ranks, I believe, the different color armor.
So blue is the lower rank, gold is captain, I think.
Captain Chieftain? Major.
Yeah,
no, Chieftain's the black.
And then there's the brown chieftain that's not quite a chieftain. He's like a major, Captain Major or something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there are four different ranks of there's four ranks. So blue ones, yellow ones, brown ones, and then the black and red ones.
Why don't you look that up really quick, and I'll kind of take you through my version of the encounter here. So I usually, I'll snipe a couple people, and then I will, because there's the snipers on the top there. So usually I have a carbine at this point, and so I'm using that for a little bit. And I like to kind of jump down and get my hands dirty. And there's like that little building right to the left when you jump down. I'll go in there because there's grunts in there, and I'll kind of clear that area out. And then there's also like some rocks behind you, like kind of like a little, I don't know, you can kind of wind around. So I'll kind of clear out that area. And then usually, actually this time on heroic, there some of those jackal snipers from the way far away were giving me issues.
Yeah,
so I did have to snipe those. Oh, yeah. They weren't? Okay.
No, I had normal to snipe those.
They're like in the building, off in the distance. So that was a pain. But I ended up kind of jumping down and then kind of making a stand. And if I don't take out the chieftain if I'm not able to, then he usually comes and charges me.
Yeah.
From the whole way across. And so we killed him. Me and Arby killed him. Arbiter picked up the hammer. It was awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that happen.
What?
Yeah.
Arby can wield the hammer?
He wielded the hammer for me
in this mission.
So I think it might have been because he actually died. So he died, but then he respawned. He hopped back up, and then I was like, okay, I got to get that hammer. He picked it up first.
I've never seen him do that. That's cool.
Yeah, super cool. But you can kind of go across the bridge up top, or you can go down below and go all the way across if you kind of want to do a little stealth and then kind of pop up behind the Covenant there. Yeah, I'm usually kind of an in-your-face guy. If you've been listening to this, you kind of know. So I like to go up and do some up close fighting.
Yeah, I try to snipe here. I always try and snipe as much as I can and try and get the Chieftain before he kind of goes berserk.
Yeah. There's a lot of enemies in this area, so hopefully you have you're a good shot or you got a lot of ammo if you're going to be sniping. Yeah, so then we kind of make it all the way around, and then Krista, do you have that, before I keep going, do you have the brute stuff up?
Yes, I do. So there's actually more than I thought. So they're split into three ranks on this thread I found. So it's infantry, which is the brute minor, the brute major, and the brute ultra. And it's light teal armor, light blue armor, and light purple armor. I don't think we're actually looking at exactly what shade of blue each armor is, but then you have the leaders, which is the brute captain, which is heavy blue and red armor, the brute major, which is the heavy gold armor, and then the brute captain ultra, which is the heavy blue armor, which is, I'm guessing, is the more ornate helmet that they have with like spikes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the heroes, which is brute chieftain with weapon, which is the ornate black and red armor. And then the brute chieftain with armor, which is the super heavy black armor.
Ooh.
So they are chieftains. So the ones with turrets are actually chieftains.
Okay. And I don't think we see any of those in this mission yet.
No.
It's either the hammer or the turrets. Those are the chieftains. But yeah, that's a lot of ranks. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Oh, well.
Yeah, very cool. Well, it'll be good to, I'm sure we'll get it wrong as we're talking through, but it's good to at least have that as a base set of knowledge as we're walking through this.
Yeah, and maybe we'll look for it next time.
Yeah. All right, so we've made it to the other side, and we've cleared out the area, and we've made it to Johnson's little jail cell. It's Johnson, and I think there's a couple of Marines in there too. You kind of go up and you hit the button like you always do in Halo. You kind of hold X and then clear him out. He has some good dialogue here. He says something to the effect of like, you saved me for, I owe you one for, what does he say? God, I didn't write it down.
We're even as long as we're only counting today.
Yeah, that's it. he's so good. So you saved him, and then now a pelican is going to come in to save you. But there's some more covenant to deal with. There's a couple phantom dropships that come in, and you have to, you know, clear out all this area before you get to the... Is it timed event? Do you guys know? Does the pelican come in at a certain point, or does it come in when you get back up to on top of the dam?
I think it's maybe when you... Maybe you have to kill a certain amount of enemies or brutes or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what it is.
Yeah. So, you know, more or less, you're just clearing out, just like you've been doing, you know, clear out this area. It's mostly grunts. There might be a couple of jackals here and there, and then some brutes that you need to clear out. But then, as David mentioned, your pelican finally comes in. He's called Hocus. Johnson refers to the guy, the pilot's name is Hocus. And this is actually a badass pelican, one of the few.
One of the it actually first does something.
Badass pelican, the whole series. It's so goddamn cool.
Yeah, and he shoots down the phantoms and comes to save you.
With rocket pods on the front of it, all these missiles come flying out and it blows the shit out of it, which is a really kind of sneaky thing when we're going for power score. Shoot at the phantom with any weapon you have. Just shoot at it.
Really? And you can get the points, for it?
Yeah,
oh, you'll get the points. Oh my god. That's amazing. Oh,
nice. It's cool.
Very nice. Cool. Then we just hop in the pelican, and that pretty much ends the mission there. Oh, the other little thing that I mentioned, so one of those phantoms that gets shot down above the river, you can actually see it sinking in the river, which is very good.
Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the end cutscene is pretty much just Johnson putting his hand on your shoulder, and you fly off. Yeah, very good. Very good first mission. Good so memories. Good. Fun to play again.
Awesome. Yep. Two interesting pieces of lore at the end. This is the only Halo 3 mission where the Arbiter will accompany the player through the whole level. This does not include Halo because the single player will absent during the fight with 343 Guilty Spark. So that's kind of spoilers for what's coming up ahead. So I found that quite interesting. It is possible to break this level by tossing a plasma grenade at the Kilo 23's cockpit at the end of the level. The grenade will pass through the door to the cockpit and kill Hocus, causing the pelican to fall through the level's geometry and disappear. The actual thing is quite large, so if it falls on you, you get splattered. So I thought that was cool. Oh,
funny. Nice. Cool. Anything else you guys want to cover up before we do have a little community questions, Discord and Facebook. I feel like there's some answers in there. You guys might have to weed through that a little bit, but there's some responses to give. But yeah, anything else? There's a lot. We covered a lot on this mission.
These missions are a lot longer.
Oh, the one thing I didn't really mention during the walkthrough is like Cortana's always talking to you at some point. Like your screen goes a little blurry, and then she has a line about let's talk about this now. So she's giving lines. What's she talking about, Krista?
So give me just one second. I have it up. Okay. So in this Cortana moment, as they're called, it's when Cortana's having a bit of a moment. Could you sacrifice me to complete your mission? Would you watch me die? And then that's the end. So
that's the first one, right?
Yeah, that's the first one. Is there a second one in this mission? I think it's just that
there's
one.
There's loads of them.
Oh, no, there's a couple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole I am your shield, I am your sword.
Yeah.
They're all direct quotes from Fall of Reach.
Yeah, which is really interesting. Fall of Reach, the novel, is of course the story of, you know, how John became a Spartan and heavily relies on Cortana and Halsey to help tell that story. So these are direct quotes from Halsey or Halsey talking to Cortana. So that first one, like, would you watch me die? At some point in Fall of Reach, you know, Halsey asks Cortana about the Master Chief, saying, you know, could you sacrifice him if you had to? Could you watch him die? So she's kind of presenting this information to him. And these are, like, Cortana legitimately lived inside of Chief's brain. When an AI and a when an AI and a human, like, love each other very much. Yeah, no. when they interface, the AI actually enters the person's mind. In the books, it just kind of, Chiefs describes it as feeling like something cold in his mind. Like, mm-hmm. a coldness comes into his mind. So, these are probably just imprints Cortana left behind, or we don't know exactly what they are, because he couldn't possibly remember this, because he wasn't in this scene with Dr. Halsey.
Yeah, that's a good point. And she's not, like, there's no way she's talking to him right now.
No, like, this it's like him Cortana. Remembering or feeling something.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it before somewhere, where we were hypothesizing, was this something to do with the Grave Mind? Because, you know, the Grave Mind has this crazy-ass telepathy ability, and we know that there's things happening right now with Cortana, because she obviously got left behind with the Grave Mind on High Charity. So I remember us having a conversation before, thinking, is Chief aware of this? Is he seeing it? Is it for the player's benefit? Mm. Or is it something Master Chief is actually experiencing in the game?
It feels like almost like a guilt moment for him, though. He's so guilty about leaving her. He's like personifying her.
Yeah, I'd like to know.
From a gameplay perspective, it's I think it's helping remind you, one of the reasons you're fighting is for Cortana, just reminding the player of the relationship that you guys have.
Yeah,
you know, through Halo 1, through Halo 2. She's very important to John, and if you played, you know, there are things that happen later in this game, but if they didn't have this, then all of a sudden you'd reach this point where it's like, oh yeah, Cortana, okay, I remember her. So I think they needed that to have these to make the whole story that they're telling here make sense.
Well, and it's definitely a story of reuniting, kind of, you know, the guilt of leaving and then the joy of, you know, trying to find or searching, mm-hmm. or it's an interesting overarching, like, because there's so much going on. Like, later in this game, there's crazy set pieces, but there's always this little story between John and Cortana going on in the background.
Do you like how it stops you?
No,
Kristen? No, I hated them. Everyone hated them.
Mm-hmm. They happen especially when way you're speed too running often. Something. I remember, I think it was David, Aaron, or I. We were playing together, and Halo 3 is really broken on the Master Chief Collection, so it was super laggy. And then these showed up, and it was even more laggy. Yeah. It was like, oh my god. It was like, what's going on? Oh, yeah.
You're playing co-op, it's not great. Because you're just like, I want to just go shoot people. Stop.
Okay, guys, here is some details about this on Halo Wikipedia. The Halo Evolution story Human Weakness provides an explanation for the Cortana interludes. It is revealed that the Gravemind has successfully hijacked Cortana's system, allowing him to speak with her voice. This was part of his plan to persuade Cortana and John Woman 7 that Cortana is descending into rapancy. It is, however, not explained how the Gravemind was able to connect to John Woman 7 all the way from High Charity. So there you go. Isn't
so it is the Gravemind.
Wow, yeah. So it's like the Gravemind almost calling out for you, kind of baiting you. It's like bait.
Yeah.
So this is actually something John's seeing.
Interesting.
That's nuts.
That's kind of crazy.
Thanks for finding that. That changes a lot.
Yeah, Cortana battled the Gravemind trying to hold on to the data about the portal and the Ark. She ends up creating multiple copies of herself to distract the Gravemind, and twice they apparently chime in during her conversations with the Gravemind. One adds, okay, that's probably human weakness stuff. Okay. So there you go. There's some crazy stuff, guys.
Oof. Okay. All right. Well, so that is happening then. That is crazy. Okay, all right, so I think we need to get out of here. This is a long episode. Let's cover off on this community thoughts, and we will go. Krista, do you want to do Discord first?
Yes. There might be
some good stuff in there. If you don't have it open, then maybe David has Facebook.
I just had it open, and then it refreshed.
That's okay. I have Facebook here.
Okay.
So, Colin Perkins, you may know of him, posted in Facebook. Ooh. What was going through Chief's mind that he was plummeting towards the Earth at the start of Halo 3? There's a random image from Cody. Good job, Cody.
Oh.
Timothy.
Yeah, that's a very strange
image. Yeah. I don't remember the comic. Was he backed into the corner when he decided to jump? Then there's a conversation with Colin. Then Brad, you would think with all the bells and whistles and then his armor, they would have installed the parachutes by now. That's pretty funny. Jesse White says, yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That's good. Matthew has a guy surfing. Okay, that's a good job. Dave McLaughlin, one of our newest members, also Irish. Hey, Dave. Says, oh, bollocks, I think I left the immersion on. That's pretty funny. It's an Irish joke.
I don't get it.
That's very random. The immersion is the hot water system in your house that you have to flick on when you want hot water for like a shower or something. So you have to put the immersion on to heat up the water in your house.
Gotcha. Like, still to this day, that's a technology in Ireland?
100%, that's a thing. Cool. Immersions. If you have electric showers, you don't have this problem. But many Irish homes would not.
Got it.
Putting electricity by water doesn't sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
You know. No big deal. All right, is that it for Facebook?
That's it for Facebook.
Cool, Discord.
Yeah, so same thing for Discord. People got off track really fast, actually.
Yeah, I know. There's maybe a couple comments.
Brotherly Duck 17 says s'mores, which is good. Yeah. I think about s'mores a lot, actually. Pretty good. Pop-Tart flavor is really nice. Min says for a brick, ...
Okay.
Brotherly Duck again says, this is about as much fun as the time with the bomb, ... I miss Cortana.
Yeah. both of those were Halo 2 references, right?
Nice. Yes. Yeah. And then Min again said, this view would be great. I wish I had someone in my helmet to share it with.
So,
and then they started talking about if he was conscious during the fall and then the damage to his armor. So it gets off topic pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah. All right. Well, apologize if there's another comment in there that didn't get read, but yeah. Our Discord is a little funky sometimes, a little crazy. Lots of stuff happens there.
It's pretty fun.
It's a good time.
It's a good, yeah.
Crystal loves hanging out there.
I do. I hang out there a lot. Mostly just trolling and posting memes.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's move on to Crow's Nest. So that'll do it for our debriefing of the Arrival Cinematic in CR117 from Halo 3.
Oh my God.
On the next episode, we'll be covering Crow's Nest. Send us your thoughts at podcastevolved@gmail.com or drop us a tweet at podcastevolved on Twitter. Until next time, evolved.
Evolved.
Evolved.